Would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27, this is God's word. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could not see, he called his older son Esau and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Look, I am old and do not know the day of my death. So now take your hunting gear, your quiver and bow, and go out in the field to hunt some game for me. Then make me a delicious meal that I love and bring it to me to eat so that I can bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening to what Isaac said to his son Esau. So while Esau went to the field to hunt some game to bring in, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Listen, I heard your father talking with your brother Esau. He said, 'Bring me game and make a delicious meal for me to eat so that I can bless you in the Lord's presence before I die.' Now, my son, listen to me and do what I tell you. Go to the flock and bring me 2 choice young goats, and I will make them into a delicious meal for your father, the kind he loves. Then take it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies." Jacob answered Rebekah, his mother, "Look, my brother Esau is a hairy man, but I am a man with smooth skin. Suppose my father touches me, then I will be revealed to him as a deceiver and bring a curse rather than a blessing on myself." His mother said to him, "Your curse be on me, my son. Just obey me and go get them for me." So he went and got the goats and brought them to his mother. And his mother made the delicious food his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of her older son Esau, which were in the house, and had her younger son Jacob wear them. She put the skins of the young goats on his hands and the smooth part of his neck. Then she handed the delicious food and the bread she had made to her son Jacob. When he came to his father, he said, "My father." And he answered, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob replied to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How did you ever find it so quickly, my son?" He replied, "Because the Lord your God made it happen for me." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come closer so I can touch you, my son. Are you really my son Esau or not?" So Jacob came closer to his father Isaac. When he touched him, he said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. Again he asked, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he replied, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it closer to me, and let me eat some of my son's game so that I can bless you." Jacob brought it closer to him, and he ate. He brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Please come closer and kiss me, my son." So he came closer and kissed him. When Isaac smelled his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give to you from the dew of the sky and from the richness of the land an abundance of grain and new wine. May peoples serve you and nations bow in worship to you. Be master over your relatives. May your mother's sons bow in worship to you. Those who curse you will be cursed, and those who bless you will be blessed." As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob and Jacob had left the presence of his father Isaac, his brother Esau arrived from his hunting. He had also made some delicious food and brought it to his father. He said to his father, "Let my father get up and eat some of his son's game so that you may bless me." But his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am Esau, your firstborn son." Isaac began to tremble uncontrollably. "Who was it then," he said, "who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it all before you came in, and I blessed him. Indeed, he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's words, he cried out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me too, my father." But he replied, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." So he said, "Isn't he rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me twice now. He took my birthright, now he has taken my blessing." Then he asked, "Haven't you saved a blessing for me?" But Isaac answered Esau, "Look, I have made him a master over you, have given him all of his relatives as his servants, and have sustained him with grain and new wine. What then can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father." And Esau wept loudly. His father Isaac answered him, "Look, your dwelling place will be away from the richness of the land, away from the dew of the sky above. You will live by your sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you rebel, you will break his yoke from your neck." Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. And Esau determined in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." When the words of her older son Esau were reported to Rebekah, she summoned her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Listen, your brother Esau is consoling himself by planning to kill you. So now, my son, listen to me. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran and stay with him for a few days until your brother's anger subsides, until your brother's rage turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send for you and bring you back from there. Why should I lose you both in one day?" So Rebekah said to Isaac, "I'm sick of my life because of these Hethite girls. If Jacob marries someone from around here, like these Hethite girls, what good is my life?" May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. How do you spell dysfunction? Suffice it to say that this is not the way families are supposed to operate. Okay? Now you have what we refer to as an intact family. That is, you have a mom, you have a dad, and you have the children living in the home, even though they're now adults. Even though Esau has married a couple of times, not one replaced by the other, just one and then another. And as you read on, you will find that he marries a third, because it's like, if they don't like the first two, I'll get another one. That's not exactly a healthy family. That's not a biblical approach to marriage, but it is the biblical record of how some people behave. As is the fact that this is a story of heartbreaking deceit. And it's an intergenerational thing. How did Abraham deal with his cowardice regarding his wife's beauty as he traveled from place to place? "Please tell them you're my sister." Putting her at risk by deceiving people so that they wouldn't know that he and Sarah were married. That was not okay. But we see that Isaac did the same thing with Rebekah. When they went among the Philistines, he said, "She's my sister." He'd learned that from his dad. It wasn't an okay thing when dad did it, and it wasn't okay for Isaac to do it. It was deceit. And now what is happening in Isaac's life? He's gotten to where he can't see anymore, and he anticipates that because he's lost his vision, his body is falling apart, he will probably soon be dead, and therefore, it's time to bless my son Esau before I die. And so, he asks his son Esau to go and hunt some game and bring it back, cook it for him. See, even hunters can cook. Bring it back and cook it for him and then serve it to him. You know the way I like it, okay? You know the delicious food. You know how to fix it the way I like it. Now, his wife is hearing this conversation, and she's not only concerned about Jacob, but in my opinion, she may not have liked the idea that when the man wants his last meal, he wants somebody else to cook it, not her. And she says to Jacob, I know how to cook it the way your father likes. I'm just guessing here. This is not in the Bible. This is just in the kitchen, okay? I'm guessing that curry was the secret, okay? Because if you're cooking a young goat and you want to make people think that it's the way the hunter cooks it, well, you just fix it with curry. You can't go wrong. I love curried lamb. I bet I'd even like curried goat. I'm confident I'd like curried venison or antelope. I'm confident that as much as I like curried chicken, I would probably do well for a limited period of time living in India, because they cook with lots of curry over there. So I don't know exactly what the secret was here. I do know that Rebekah knew how Esau made it, because when she made it, Dad thought, that's it. That's that. You got it, son. Thank you. Now, we're going to talk about the deceit thing, but we need to talk about something else. Isaac believed he was going to die. And the reason he believed he was going to die is because he'd lost his eyesight. In the face of a loss, instead of figuring out how do I cope, this man went to bed and waited for the end. I'm 63 and a half years old, more than a half, I might add. And I can't do things I used to be able to do. I don't have as much energy. My vision isn't as good. That's why I need these. I used to be able to see things up close. Now I can't see anything except that I can't see. I used to be able to see things in the distance. I could read signs way down the interstate. Now I can see that there is a sign way down the interstate. Okay? My vision is not what it was. My hearing is not what it was. My wife said the other day when we were trying to communicate with each other, I guess we're both going to have to get hearing aids. Because it's just not like it was before. My sense of smell isn't as good as it used to be. That's why I spray myself with cologne every morning. Because I want to be sure that people say, the old guy uses too much cologne. Instead of, ooh, the old guy smells bad. Okay, I've been around old guys who should have used more cologne. I also, by the way, do shower. I did that just this morning. But the thing is, I can tell that my body is wearing out. They do that. Your body wears out. If you think that by eating nuts and berries and exercising every day, you're going to be able to keep the body you're in for another 150 years, you're mistaken. Okay? I don't care how good care you take of it, sooner or later it will wear out. Now, does that mean we shouldn't take care of our bodies? No, not at all. Your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means you need to live a godly life in this body. It means you need to use your body to do His will. It also means you need to take care of your body. Okay? You ought to eat right. You ought to exercise because you will be more able to serve the Lord effectively if you can ambulate from place to place. If you can reach up and get things off the shelf for yourself. Now, if God should see fit to limit your activities, making it so that you can't ambulate anymore, you need to use a wheelchair like my son has ever since he was 10 years old. You need to use something else like he uses to get things off the upper shelf. It's a, I forget what it's called. Golden Retriever, yes, that's it. It's a neat little thing that you has a clasp on the end, and he can use that to get things down. But if you need to do that, then do that for the glory of God. But what Isaac did was just to say, I can't see anymore, so I guess my life is pretty much over. I'm going to go to bed. He spent decades waiting to die. Okay? We'll see that later as we go along. But I want you to understand, this man who thought his life was pretty much over, it wasn't over. Now, do you really want to spend the last third of your life lying around in bed waiting for the end to come? Okay? All you get is a bad back and bed sores. It's not a good plan. As we've said before about Isaac, he was a rather passive man anyway. Maybe that's one reason that he admired Esau so much. Thought, you know, what a great man. That's the kind of man I wish I could have been. I bet that's what my dad was like when he was younger. Abraham was such a go-getter. Okay? I bet he was kind of like Esau. Esau reminds me of my dad. Son, go get me some game, would you? You're not going to catch me in a tree stand. Okay? I mean, the only way I'm going to be in a tree stand is a zombie apocalypse. Okay? Just so you know. I've been in a tree stand before. It's boring. You can't walk around and I get restless. You know, you have to be quiet, and that's just a killer for me. I hope that I don't completely lose my vision, but if I do, I hope I can still talk. Because, you know, that's how I cope. Even when I have to just talk to myself. But Isaac squandered years waiting to die. Don't make that mistake. Don't make that mistake. Whatever time you've got, use it for the glory of God. None of us knows how much time we've got left. We may think we're going to live a lot longer than we end up living. I know people who thought they could do this later. They could do this after something else happens. Then I'll deal with that. I have a friend who I look forward to seeing again in heaven. He did volunteer work here at the ranch. When he was in his 40s, God told him that he needed to sell his home, sell his business, and go to work at a children's home. So he sat down. He was a brilliant guy. He sat down and he did the calculations, and he realized that if he could work for just another 3 years at his present job, then he would be really fixed for life. Okay? Just needed 3 more years. Now, he was already very well off. But he knew that those next 3 years would make a big difference, be the difference between this and this. So he went back to the Lord and explained the calculations to him and said, just give me 3 more years here at my present work. And the Lord said, you need to do this now. So he obeyed the Lord. And 3 years later, he stood before the congregation of our church in Atlanta. And he said, if God tells you to do something, do it. He had a brain tumor that was going to take his life. And he said, if I had waited 3 years to do what God told me, I would have missed the 3 greatest years of my life. I would have missed the opportunity to do what God told me to do. He said, now I'm about to die unless God heals me. Either way, I'm going to be okay. But he said, I'm telling you, when God tells you to do something, you need to do it. Now, we may die sooner than we anticipate, but we may live longer than we anticipate. It's not in our hands. It's in God's hands. And the fact that you're having health issues, the fact that you're having problems that frustrate you, that you can't do what you used to do, doesn't mean it's okay to quit. It means you take what you have and you use it in obedience to God for His glory. Amen? Now, Isaac, thinking he was soon going to die, called for his son Esau, the hunter, to go and get him some food. And mom overhears it and decides, I've got to act. I've got to act. And so she has a plan, and her plan is utterly criminal. It's fraud. If I go to the bank and pretend to be Bill Gates, okay, and want to withdraw money from one of his accounts, that's not a little mischief. That's criminal fraud. And this guy pretends to be somebody that he's not, but hey, it's okay because mom said so. Now, in this translation, he says, look, my brother Esau, verse 11, is a hairy man, but I am a man with smooth skin. Suppose my father touches me. It translates it here, then I will be revealed to him as a deceiver and bring a curse rather than a blessing on myself. I believe a more literal translation is, then it will appear that I am trying to deceive him. Now, this is a legitimate translation, but I think the other probably fits better with what Jacob said because it fits better with how a lot of us try and rationalize our conduct. He says, if I do that and Dad figures it out, it'll look like I'm trying to trick him. Well, why will it look like you're trying to trick him? Because I'm trying to trick him? Okay? This suggests it'll become evident that I'm trying to do it. I think Jacob probably said, as some of the translations indicate, Dad will get the impression that I'm trying to deceive him. Because I am. Have you ever been talked into doing something you knew you shouldn't do? That's what's going on right here. And it's mom talking him into it. I thought if your mom told you to do something, you're supposed to do it. Well, it depends. If mom tries to get you to do something wrong, that God says is wrong, it's not okay to do it. Well, but mom said I should. And children obey your parents. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. No one has the authority to require you to do what God forbids or to forbid your doing what God commands. No one has the authority to require you to do what God forbids or to forbid your doing what God commands. Whether it's your parent, whether it is the government, whoever it may be, if somebody's trying to get you to do something that God says is not okay to do, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. So what mom is telling him to do is just flat wrong. But he does it. And his response to his mom wasn't, Mom, I can't do that. That wouldn't be honest. His response to his mom was, Mom, I can't do that. I might get caught. Hey, boy, really bringing up the kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord there. We are teaching them to trust Him and obey Him in all their ways. No, not really. Son, just do what I say. If you get cursed, may the curse fall on me. Okay? I'm the one putting you up to it. I'll go to jail for you. Just an aside here, but this is important. If a liar tells you something, don't believe them. Okay? When mom says, may the curse fall on me, it's not like, well, you can take that to the bank. Okay? How do I know I can't trust mom? Because she's trying to get me to lie. She's trying to get me to steal something that belongs to my brother. And so if mom is a liar, then I probably shouldn't trust her. It kind of is like sexual immorality. Here's how. If somebody will be sexually immoral with you, they will be sexually immoral against you. Okay? I've had people come to me just absolutely bewildered because they cheated on their spouse with this person and then were shocked to find out that they weren't the only person this person cheated with. They're just heartbroken. How could they do that to me? Well, how could you do it to them? Well, that was different. We were in love. Okay? Let me just tell you, don't trust people who aren't trustworthy. I mean, think about it. That's why I coach young couples, when you're engaged, this is the time to build trust. Okay? Because if in the midst of intense love and desire, you say no to temptation, you are not only behaving in a way that honors God, but you are behaving in a way that trains your spouse to know this person can be trusted. And you don't get another chance to do that after you're married in the same way. Okay? By denying yourselves before marriage, you set yourselves up for a much better marriage. Is that clear? Turns out, God's plan is actually a great plan. Obey Him. Obey Him. He loves you. His plan for you is good. So Jacob doesn't say, Mother, that would be wrong. Please don't tempt me to do evil. Instead, he says, suppose my father touches me, then I'll be revealed to him as a deceiver and bring a curse rather than a blessing on myself. His mother said to him, your curse be on me, my son. Just obey me and go get them for me. So he went and got the goats and brought them to his mother, and his mother made the delicious food his father loved. I'm telling you, it was curry. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of her older son Esau. Now, excuse me. The text we read previously talks about the fact that Isaac loved Esau and she loved Jacob. But I'm getting the impression she really kind of despised Esau. She took his best clothes to put on Jacob. Well, because I don't want Jacob to have to wear those other things that haven't been washed. Okay? You know, Esau's already always out there in the woods and so forth. So we're going to put on his best clothes. That's what we're going to put on. And then, in order to disguise him, she puts the skin of the goats on the back of his neck and on his hands so that he will be like Esau, who, if you'll recall, from birth was wearing what appeared to be a fur coat. Okay? That had to be hard. You remember Chewy? Okay, I'm just telling you. Took the best clothes of her older son Esau, which were in the house, and she had her younger son Jacob wear them. And she must have stolen them from under the nose of the two wives. You know, that was a whole other issue. So, when he comes to his father, he says, my father, he answered, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob replied to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. Over and over in this story, he lies, flat out lies. It's not just, let's see if I can trick him without telling a lie. He flat out lies to his dad. Repeatedly. And when his dad says, how did you get the game so quickly? He says, oh, it was the blessing of the Lord. Did you know that some people will actually bring God into it when they're trying to deceive others? There are some people who want their businesses to be a witness for Christ, and they work with integrity, and they work with excellence, and they gladly share a gospel witness, having a little ichthus on their sign or something like that. There are other people who collect things like that in order to disarm people like us. So that we'll assume, well, you know, if he says I need a new radiator, I guess I need a new radiator, because after all, he's got an ichthus on the sign. Okay? There are people who will pretend to be our brothers and sisters in Christ, and they will lie to your face. Because if you're not a Christian, why not? Okay? If you don't believe that you're going to stand before God and give an account, then what's to stop you from lying? And by the way, not to pick on Muslims, but in the Quran, you're actually commended for deceiving people like us. Is this what you have to do in order to advance the cause? Now, this guy shows that lying is an equal opportunity destroyer. Jacob says, it was the blessing of the Lord. The Lord enabled me to do it. That's why I got back so quick with this food. Hideous. And his dad is, you know, it's, I want to believe him, but the voice doesn't sound right. Okay? I mean, I don't
know that Esau talked like this.
And that Jacob talked like this. I don't know. But I'm figuring if he had the skin on his hands and his dad's talking about the voices, maybe Jacob was trying to talk like this. Okay? Hi, Dad. It's Jacob. Believe me. I mean, Esau. Isn't that embarrassing? Who is it?
I am your son, Jacob. Esau.
He's trying to carry this off, and his dad is saying, come here a minute, let me touch your hand. He touches his hand, and it's like, well, that's furry. Okay? Jacob's hands aren't like that. He's got smooth skin. And then he comes back, and he says, give me a kiss. That's why I use Safari. You can tell if it's me. Okay? And Safari sounds like outdoors, right? Ridiculous. But it's tragic. Because what happens when Esau comes in? After Isaac has given the blessing to Jacob and Jacob has left the room, here comes Esau. And when Esau presents himself to his father and has the food, his dad begins to tremble violently. Tragic. This old man, waiting to die, realizing what's happened. It isn't just, oh no, I gave the blessing to the wrong son. It's the son who got the blessing is a deceiver. He has deceived me. He has lied to me. And he's heartbroken. But he also knows that the blessing is irrevocable. Jacob didn't deserve it, but Jacob had received it. And now that blessing would be on him. And his father knew the power of a blessing in a child's life. We don't have time to talk about this at length this morning, but I want you to understand, your words matter. What you say to your kids matters. But I want to tell you something else. You can come to God and receive His blessing. Because Jesus, who is the heir of all things, came to this earth and took the punishment that we deserve so that we could become joint heirs with Him. Instead of trying to get the blessing and hold it, Jesus came to give the blessing of God to all who trust in Him. And whatever you've been through in your past, and whatever your family situation, and whatever wrongs you've done, if you will come to the cross and trust in Jesus Christ, you can be blessed eternally. The amazing grace of our sovereign God is such that even this evil was used by God to bring blessing through the line that God had chosen, because guess what? It wasn't just his mom that loved Jacob. God says in his word that he despised Esau and loved Jacob before they'd done anything. Before they'd done anything, not based on what they did. Before they had done anything, God says, Jacob is my chosen one. Wow. So God chooses them based on the fact that Jacob was a better man? No. God chooses them based on the fact that he chose them. He said, this is what I'm going to do. And guess what? The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. And God will do what it takes to get the job done. If you are in Christ Jesus, you need to be thanking God, crying out to him in praise and worship and saying, thy will be done. Thank you for having mercy on me. Please live your life through me. And if you are not in Christ, while you still have breath, I implore you, come to the cross. Ask him to save you. Because whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these amazing true stories of how you have worked down through history with sinner after sinner after sinner after sinner, so that through the sinless Lamb, Jesus Christ, we might be not only forgiven, but made part of your family as joint heirs with Jesus forever. Help us to love you, help us to trust you, help us to obey you, and to turn away from evil. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.